you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
Actors, right? The road to fame and celebrity. All right, I get it. You've had an incredible life.
Aren't you sick of hearing about them?
Me too.
The only problem is, I'm one of them. Except I'm not famous.
Oh, you've probably seen me.
A bunch of times. I'm the guy with the information about the hero's dad. I'm the doctor that can't figure out what's wrong with one of the main characters. I'm the guy they just punched in the face during the interrogation. My name's Brian LaFontaine, and I'm a professional actor. Oh, and it's not just me. There's a ton of us.
We're the ones you don't hear about.
Yeah, we're the names that scroll by at lightning speed during the end credits. But there's way more of us than there are of them. We're important too, dammit. Because without us, they can't tell the rest of the story. So this is for all the movie and TV prostitutes, homeless people, drug dealers, cab drivers, cops numbers 2, 3, and sometimes 4, the pilots, the waitresses, and girl at party.
This is You May Have Seen. Hey, it's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving. I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for you listening. I'm thankful that I'm still here to do this. I'm thankful to have this guest here with me today. I'm sure he's got a lot to be thankful for, too. This guy has worked hard to make this career in this industry happen, which honestly is what this podcast was all about when I first started it. It's for those people who are just determined to make it work. And Tim Ross, my good friend Tim Ross, is exactly that guy. He has carved out a career for himself. Who gives a damn what anybody says? He is sticking with it, and he has stuck with it, and he has been able to be successful. Yes, I don't care what anybody else's definition of success is. This guy has been successful, and it's a great, great interview for anyone who's truly trying to make it in this business. So I'm glad you showed up. I think you're going to learn a lot from this. So get your pad, get your pen, take some notes. Here we go.
I need to do a whole, like, just outtakes of what we do before and after. But no, I was thankful for her to help me, but it's, you know, I got 14 pages on Monday.
Holy Jesus.
Due on Tuesday.
Oh,
and then our power
God.
Went out.
What?
Pretty much all day yesterday.
All right, so I've got to call you out. First you bump me, and then you're a half an hour late. What
I know.
The hell, Mr. Big Time?
I know, man. Well, you know the world. You know the world.
Know the
we
world.
Sit, we sit, we sit, and then they say, we need you to do these 4 auditions by 2 o'clock.
Well, see, and this is what I'm going to bring up right out of the gate. Okay, before we really get into anything, because this is, you know, when I was preparing for you, I was like, what the hell?
Preparing you have, for me sounds ominous.
Yeah, yeah. You have 14 projects listed as having been done or being done in 2020. How is that possible? Have you been in the same 2020 that I'm in?
I mean,
you've already done 2 coronavirus projects. Like, you don't waste any time.
Yes, that's part of a trilogy that we're supposed to do.
You do not waste time.
Well, okay. So to me, my favorite phrase is networking matters. Now, for me, it's a fine line between networking and hounding, hustling,
right.
Pestering.
Right.
And I had a buddy that I did several films with a while back, and then we just kind of, he went off and did his stuff, and I was doing other stuff. And I wrote to him in January when things started getting kind of weird. I actually did a couple of really nice jobs in January. I remember saying to my wife,
sure.
This
right.
year,
right,
mm-hmm. this year, this is going to be the one, baby. And then not so much. But I wrote him, and I just flat out said, what do I need to do a movie with you again?
Nice.
I mean, I put it like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, actually, I have a movie. I have a script I just wrote. Timing, right?
Yep.
He's up in West Virginia. He started this whole small kind of studio and film business up there. And I said, let's go. Let's do it. We have now done 5 or 6 movies this year.
Oh, my God.
He has a couple of investors. They get it set. They get the budget. We come. We do the movies. And then off we go.
That's fantastic.
So I just, you know, after doing this for 30 years, for some bizarre reason, 2020 is a year where people have said, hey, we've known each other for years. I got this thing.
Wow.
You want to come do it?
That's awesome.
It's just, last year was really my watershed year. And then this year has kind of built on it. It's just planting seeds, man, and watering them and waiting like crazy for sprouts. And for some reason this year, it's just sprouting.
All right. Well, don't get too far ahead of me because I got all kinds of stuff in here. So first of all, for everybody who's listening, I am talking to my very old friend, Tim Ross. It has been, we've known each other for 20, 25 years now. It's been
good a 20.
Long, long good solid time. 20, 25. Yes. And yeah, so I have decided to label you Tim the Hustler,
yeah.
Ross, because it seems like that's your thing, man.
I embrace that title.
Yeah, yeah, you should. I say that with all due respect. I mean, because that's a huge statement in this industry, man. You are, and it's always been that way. I mean, because again, by the looks of your resume, you're working all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Big, small, in the middle projects of all shapes and sizes. Yeah, it's always been like that. Like ever since I knew you, you were always,
yeah.
No matter what it was, to keep things going, to make ends meet, to pay the bills, to keep your head above water, you were always, whenever we would talk or hang out and you would say, oh, I just got done doing this, I just got done doing that, I was always like, what the fuck? How the hell does he do this? Where does he, I wouldn't even know where the hell to begin. But first of all, let me also point out, you and I have never been on stage together. You believe that? After all this time?
Well, you know what I was just going to say is there have been a couple times you've been on a set as an actor and I was in the props department because back then, sure. To just riff on what you just, I yep. just wanted to be in right. the business.
Right.
I just, if, right. Every time I thought about a plan B, I thought that just takes me farther away.
Yeah.
So I was happy to do props.
Yep.
While you booked a great acting job because I was like, I know the crew. I know the. I mean, I'm just around it.
But vice versa, and it like you inspired me to do the same thing. I mean, there were months, stretches during the Salad years where, yeah, because of you, I was like, oh my God, I can do production work. We know people.
Yes.
And I mean, I did some of that because of you. I remember yep. you specifically telling me one time you were like, you said, if I really, and now this was years ago. So I mean, but still. Keep it in perspective. You were like, if I really hump it, I can make over $1,000 a week. And this was still back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where $1,000 a week in this, and it's $1,000 a week in this business is
I'll take $1,000 a week in this yeah. business all day long in the Southeast.
And I was like, what the fuck? How is that even possible? So yeah, when, you know, we actually sat down and you explained, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing props in between and I'm meeting people. And I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I know that I don't have that type of personality. I really don't. You have the ability and I don't know, just the bravery and courage to just go, hey, to do just what you just were talking about. Hey, yeah. When are we going to do a movie together? That's
yeah. Well, what did I have to lose?
I guess. Yeah.
I'm listening a couple of weeks ago to Brie Larson doing a thing. She goes, yeah, my team this and my team that. In the Southeast, we are our business.
That's it.
I am my company.
Yep.
So either I sit around on my ass in my office and then yell at myself for sitting on my ass, hey, get to work, you.
Right.
Or I get to work because it's my business. Yeah. I'm it. Yeah. So I just felt like, and you mentioned small jobs and big jobs and medium jobs. There are times where I think, man, I wish I was just the guy doing all the episodics, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But then I think, hey, how about just being the guy that works?
Oh, no, exactly.
And, right? So some of the small jobs, man, I have a blast doing. And in so many cases, I do a small job and have the person go, I got a bigger job in mind. And I, or literally on at least one occasion, I have a full-length feature script in my desk. And you're the guy. I've been looking for the right person and you're it. Because I was doing some little short film with him or some smaller job.
Yes.
You know?
All right. So to be even more specific, Tim Ross, you may have seen him on the TV show Nashville, Vampire Diaries, Hindsight, American Genius for National Geographic. Is that what that was?
That was so much fun.
Yeah. The movie The Bay, directed by Barry Levinson, which I think, in all honesty, is not a movie you want to watch today.
No. Yeah, really. It's getting timelier and timelier. Maybe there'll be residual.
Because wasn't that about like some kind of outbreak virus-y?
No. Well, it's actually a real... So these are real creatures that walk onto fish's tongues and then eat the food instead of the fish. They're creepy little things.
All right.
His premise was that then the oceans get so much toxins in them, these creatures get bigger and more aggressive kind of like the swamp thing or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just remember everybody, you know, in all the clips or footage that I saw, everybody looked like just kind of just sick.
Right.
And so I was like, I think it's some kind of virusy, you know, where everybody dies eventually.
It's eco-terrorism, basically.
Christmas in the Smokies, Mountaintop, which I was also in.
Yeah.
Briefly. And most notably, we're going to talk about these, the early successes.
Oh, no.
We have to. Saved by the Bell and
Lord.
Days of Our Lives. And I mean, and there are numerous, numerous other things that we can certainly touch on and talk about. But, how you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm having a blast. I'm having a time of my life.
Even just in general, even right now. I mean,
I just scrambled and did a big audition, and now I'm hanging out and talking with you, and then I've got five jobs on the calendar coming up in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, and it seems like, you know, as infrequently as we cross paths nowadays, it seems like that's always something that you're saying. It's like, I got to head here. I got to go there. I'm about to head there.
Well, you know, part of filling up the calendar for me and trying to average a certain amount a week, or just in general, is working regionally. Everybody says you're in the Southeast, you work regionally. And I thought, well, then I should work regionally.
Yeah.
Meaning that I'm booked in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks. I'm going to West Virginia tomorrow. I got to go back to Atlanta in a week. There's work all over the place.
Right.
And most people think Atlanta, Atlanta, Atlanta. And rightfully so.
Sure.
But the job in Philly will be the second time I've worked for these clients. It's a great day rate.
Yeah.
Jobs I wouldn't have if I didn't investigate what's going on in Philly.
All right. I'm sure that there's a ton of people who are listening who would be very, very interested to get a better understanding of how the hell you do this. Where do you find these things? Because, I mean, I've looked at your IMDb page.
Yeah.
And I'm like, on one hand, while it's like, okay, I'm not familiar with these titles.
Right, right. Of course
there's
not.
99 of them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where, how?
A lot of it's independent stuff, but so much of it is networking. But also, look, I'm an old dude, and I knew I had to like hit the learning curve when it came to the digital world we live in.
Right.
I mean, you have taught yourself the software and the recording and editing. Mm-hmm. So have I.
Sure.
Mostly for video stuff. But I also learned that casting has moved to the digital world.
Right.
So while I have a great new agent in Atlanta, I'm so excited about them. But I also work with an agency in Philadelphia and in the Midwest and in Pittsburgh and Virginia, where I now have a national commercial running for Sling, which is my biggest job this year, which I would not have known about if I didn't work with that agent in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
So I just started some of it just Googling. Man, I would just Google production companies in Richmond.
Wow.
And I'd send them my stuff directly.
Yeah.
Or agencies in Virginia. And then you can go on Facebook, which most of us love and hate both. But you can go on Facebook and Google Pittsburgh area casting calls. And there's, I probably daily check, kind of lightly, but still daily check, a couple of dozen casting pages all over the region, not just Facebook, but there are right now I've submitted for several jobs on, there's two casting pages up in, I'll back up. Most casting directors now are digital. They have their own casting sites.
Right. Okay.
So yes, your agent will see a lot of them, but also there's a casting director up there called Taylor Royal. I've done really nice jobs for them. They have their own page. They send out their own casting notices.
Wow.
They are part of, you know, we use casting networks and Actors Access and all of those.
Yep.
They have one called Agency Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Mike Lemon Casting in Pittsburgh. And I could go on and on. There's all of these sites. They're all online.
Wow.
And part of it was just Googling who's casting and where are they putting their notices out. So I've done massive jobs. The biggest job I've done this year besides Sling is the spokesperson for a golf company. And it was on Facebook.
Oh my God.
The cinematographer just, I guess he decided, let me see who's out there. And he posted on Facebook, hey, anybody like golf? Anybody do spokesperson stuff? And I was like,
check and check.
I remember sitting there in a hotel room going, what?
Yeah, right.
How fast can I submit to this?
Yes. That's like the friggin' mother planet.
It was the motherload. Yep. The next day he says, man, your demo reel's great. I'm going to send it to the producer. And that was the end of the story.
Oh, my God.
And that was Facebook.
Wow.
So, and that could be, they're talking about that being the guy for the next several years. That could all go away, but that's how you find them, right? You don't know.
Because I have never been able to figure out, you know, when I really have a hard time with social media. Like
I get it.
Until I co-produced and you know put up 3 Days of Rain a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah. I hadn't spent 1 minute on social media. I was, you know, people would ask, they were like, aren't you on there for business? And I would ask people, honestly, other actor friends, I would ask them, Tell me like about an actual job that you actually got off of social media, and every single, not one of them could say, well, I got this. They would say, I've met a lot of people. So I didn't have, I couldn't even find anyone who could even prove it to me that it was working. You know, a lot of people that we had, in, you know, we know in common would be like, don't you want to promote your stuff? And I'm like, to who? No one, who gives a crap?
That I
and
agree.
And so I never found, until literally just talking to you right now, like truly found the benefit of being in this business and connecting it to social media. It just never seemed like it was anything that was really tangible or real. And you're telling me something very, very different. And I'm actually relieved to hear that, or interested to hear that, because
if I could teach a whole course on it, and it's all crash course that I had to learn.
Yeah.
If I've done 10 jobs this year, four of them are directly from Facebook or one of those casting sites, maybe more. I don't know. I don't know what my average is, but it comes from those kinds of sites for sure. That's... And I'm with you. Like the promoting part, I'm not 100% sure about, but the connecting with people part is huge. Right. And one of the things that both of us would have a little advantage about, which is the first thing I really learned to build, was my brand. Like if I'm going to submit to one of these places,
right?
So in general, to me, the whole online digital world of casting that we live in now is, it's a double-edged sword. Everybody thinks they can submit. Everybody thinks they can do it. So there's more noise.
Right.
But if you have the demo reel, if you have the resume.
Of course. Of course.
You can get through the noise.
Right.
And that's what I have found. Because also a lot of these people, they don't go through traditional means. It's not that they're anti-agent. It just doesn't occur to them. It didn't occur to these golf people to go through agencies or even, you know, somewhere where they're going to get 800 submissions. Right. I don't know how many they got.
Yeah.
But some of them, and that's because in our digital world, people who do have talent but really couldn't build a whole production company, now they can go out and get a great digital camera, right?
Sure.
And they don't really need lights to get and they're ready to start doing stuff. But this was a legit... There's so many production companies popping up that do legit work, but it's not the old days like we did where everything went through a traditional channel.
Right.
Traditional system.
You wait for your phone to ring or you wait for that email
we'd
from
sit
your
and
agent.
And we'd wait
and
for
go,
the,
okay,
or in our case, the pager to go.
Yeah, the pager, right.
Okay,
right,
I don't need beeper. To date us too much, but yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I remember the
beepers. All of that. Check your answering machine and now you can be more proactive.
Right.
And if you have a great agent, and I really love mine, they're like, do the hustle, bro. It's okay, man. Go do the hustle. Just keep us, work with us collaboratively. Okay. So it's not like they're trying to hold me back or anything.
Right.
They get it.
Yep. Because when you and I saw each other a couple of weeks ago and we started talking about stuff, you told me that you went, what, two plus years without an agent, without representation?
Yes. I just signed with them 3 weeks ago. I left the other agency 2.5 years ago.
But you still kept working during
that time. I worked more than ever. I got some of the biggest jobs I've ever had. And again, I'm not anti-agent either because I was out of the Atlanta game for a while.
Right.
I was not chasing co-star, guest star stuff,
right,
all of which I'd love to have more of and legit. But I was finding things I wanted to do that I liked, some of which that were paying really nice, really nice paychecks.
That's incredible.
I was using the regional agents. I was getting jobs from the people in Virginia and, you know, someone over in Tennessee I do a little work with. But the vast majority of it was mine. I was getting myself by posting on all of these sites, these places that have casting.
That is crazy. So I'm just sitting here listening to you and I'm kind of just doing the imaginary math in my head, but it seems like you probably audition 10 times more than I do on average. And it's just like,
it's all the time. Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy.
There's something about that almost sounds a little overwhelming.
It is. There are times where I'm like, man, I just don't want to do this one, but I have to say though, that is part of the whole planting the seeds and networking, because you know this too. We don't book a certain job, but the casting director's like, that he's in, I'm putting him in the small circle.
Right.
I'm going to bring him back. Actually, that just reminded me. You told me this story once. I think it was Army Wives.
Oh,
you said
Jesus.
You auditioned like 23 times.
37 times.
37 times. I missed the last 14.
Yeah.
When I started telling that story, and I told that story many times.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I got this buddy. He was a great actor, and he's like auditioned 23 times. I didn't know there were 14 more.
Like, I literally went the entire span of the show. I went from the pilot to the series finale 37 times.
And, but figuratively speaking, the CD was like, he'll get in there. But just bring him back. Bring him back.
Right.
Because it's going to happen.
And it was a casting director that I had booked another movie through before, years before. And they kept, and right. clearly, you know, the producers or whatever were like, yeah, we like this guy.
Eventually.
You know, and I know that there are other people who had similar stories on that particular show, but I was right. like, yeah.
But that's our life. I mean, yeah. that our life is auditioning, right?
Right.
I used to say in my audition workshops, I'm a professional auditioner.
Sure.
And every now and then a job gets in the way.
Right.
And it's kind of cool when it does, right?
Right.
But
that's true.
You know, my two biggest jobs last year, by far, not even close, were with casting directors I have known for years mm-hmm. and either not done much with or done tiny little jobs.
Yeah.
Just to keep work coming.
Sure.
And to talk. And in both cases, I found out later, the producer said, hey, I got this big thing. And they said, call him. That's your guy. Call him. And I didn't know any of that till later, but it was just doing the work, man. Just
right.
staying in it.
Right.
And some of these jobs, Brian, were tiny, but it still beat doing something else.
Sure. Right? Sure. Sure.
And it came around to the biggest, most interesting jobs in my entire career. Just because I had those relationships.
That's crazy. Well, then, hell, while we're here, then talk to these people who are listening then, because I think this is pretty obvious and plays right into it, about the importance of professionalism. Because clearly, they would not have said, he's your guy,
right.
if you were a dick.
True.
If you walked on the set going,
I'm the guy. Yeah, here I am.
They told me I was the
they
guy.
They said I'm the guy. What they meant was, I am the guy.
Yeah.
yeah. Part of it comes down to the same reason I was happy to do those little shit jobs, and that's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful to be in this business mm-hmm. and to be able to do it. And I, you know, we went to Catawba College, so we went to the same school.
A number of years apart.
A few years apart. Okay, a number. A number is a better way to put it. Several, that's not enough. Yeah, a number. I my first day there, freshman orientation, I remember standing there thinking, I have made a terrible mistake. These guys, because all these other kids are going, yeah, I did this play and this was a musical and blah, 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 blah. And yes. I had done three plays.
All right.
But I knew in my heart it was the thing that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I just thought, stay in it, outlast everyone out, outlast people. But I also thought, man, this is such a cool way to make a living and to live and to tell stories. And so I just never, there have been very few times in all the work that I've done where I've thought, okay, this kind of sucks and I'm a little angry about it. But generally not. Generally,
right.
I'm just like, we're doing, and look what we're doing, everybody. Right. Woohoo. Yeah. And so I think that comes through in attitude and
sure.
enthusiasm.
Yep.
But also, I've always considered myself a blue-collar actor. And part of that means it's a craft, man. It's not just an art. It's not just artsy-fartsy. It's
right.
a craft. Know how to get back to your number one position. Know how to be consistent with your delivery if it's something they like.
Right.
Know how to hold the prop up to a... I mean, like all the stuff like that, but also know how to show up. Know how to have... I can't tell you how many times they said, you have a double-sided belt with you in your car and you have 8 choices of clothing?
Yeah, right.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because people who screw it up for us are the ones who show them, go, no, I didn't bring any clothes.
Right.
You can go hire a wardrobe person and get shopping. Get that shit going. And I'm like,
right.
dude, this is a $700, you know, for the day job. And
right.
be happy to you got a little paycheck. And but I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
I hear it. They're like, man, you show up and you actually... I had a casting director tell me 4 days ago, thank you so much for the audition. You always come so prepared. And 2 hours later, you know, I got put on hold for it. It's just like, because there might be a lot of other good actors and they're like,
sure.
I'm not, I can't. The director's probably like, I'm not working with that person. That's just going to be a high maintenance all day long.
Right.
That yeah. matters, you know?
And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do everything I can to live up to that. I'm going
right.
to try and get you guys out of here as quickly as possible, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly right, man.
Yeah. So you never thought about, you know, you're a smart guy. You could have done a million things. You never taken a moment and gone like, maybe I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah, but Of course. Of course. And I worked at the radio. You know, I worked at a radio station here for years and years. But I never stopped doing the acting work.
Right.
And I had a communications degree. So I felt like, hey, I'm still doing the thing that I learned to do.
Right.
But, you know, what happened for me is age creeps up on you. And, you know, I got married. I had two beautiful little boys. And we're doing that thing. We're building the family. And the next thing I know, when things got slow, I thought, I'm not starting over at this age. I'm not.
What are you qualified to do?
Right. I could try to be a TV reporter for $20,000 a year, right? Chasing every car wreck. And I mean, because we kind of talked about that, you know, my wife and I. But I thought now, right this second is the time to not do that, but to double down. And that, it's kind of necessity is the mother of invention.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I invented who I am now, kind of. And I was like, there's got to be more production companies out there. There has to be more jobs.
Right.
They have to be shooting really cool commercials in Knoxville, Tennessee, or Richmond, or Lynchburg. And I've gotten two great jobs in Lynchburg in the last couple of years. So they are.
Yeah.
They're doing work everywhere. And I just started going to find it.
Yeah. Have you been able to, like, have you had to work local hire on a lot of this stuff?
So what I try to do is build relationships.
Sure.
It really comes down to that, right?
Yeah.
So the short answer is yes, all the time.
Right.
But so there's a guy in Baltimore who hired me to do a commercial for one restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I did it for peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
I still came out in the black, but like
a
couple few hundred bucks,
right?
And I worked local. The next time he tripled the rate because he was like, they love you. You did a great job. And now they're bringing me back again for voiceover. So I've become the guy, the voice and the face of that place. And if I pay my own local hire, it's just a business expense later.
Sure.
And it actually helps my taxes in a way.
Yeah.
I worked for a production company in Huntsville, Alabama, doing commercials for Honda,
mm-hmm.
kind of their spokesperson.
Right.
So the first time they offered it to me, they said, they were a little production company. They said, we don't do budgets for travel. Like, it never occurred to us. I was like, don't worry about it. You're offering me a pretty good day rate. We do a few spots. The dealers love them.
Mm-hmm.
6 years.
Oh my God.
I'm doing the jobs for these guys.
Wow.
3 to 4 times a year.
Wow.
After the first visit, they tripled my day rate. Still no travel. I'm like, I don't care. I'll get hotel points and I'll do taxes. So I could have either said, are you kidding me? There's no fucking way I'm going to do that.
Right.
I am an artist. Right. You're going to put me up in a damn hotel.
Right.
Or I get 6 years of work out of it. So to me, I just try to think big picture. I try to think, you know, just build the relationships and don't quibble. To me, quibbling over local hire for some jobs is ridiculous.
Right. Right.
Because it comes around. I also have jobs where they're like, man, we'll pay for everything and all your food and all that stuff. And it's great.
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I think that there's an awful lot to take from that for a lot of people listening. Man. Okay. All right. This is crazy. This is very, very educational for myself included.
I'm a different breed. I know. I realize that.
You are a different breed. But I mean, it's also an impressive breed, you know, because you know as well as I do, you know, and it may be the reason why you got into this in the first place is you thought, I'd love for people to know my name. I'd love for people to know my face. I'd love to have some sort of, I don't want to say celebrity, but for lack of a better term, notoriety. And, you know, just like for myself now, it's just like, I just enjoy the work. I love working. I don't give it. That's why I have a podcast called You May Have Seen.
Yeah.
You definitely have. You might have if you're paying attention.
Or
if the kids weren't screaming in the background and you weren't distracted doing a million other things, you might have seen something.
My wife's actually fallen asleep several times right when...
Right.
I have one scene. Stay awake. Too late.
I did that. I finally watched. This was a couple years ago. What the hell was the Clint Eastwood movie? Sully. Sully. The one. Rob was in. Yeah, Rob was the air traffic control guy.
And, right.
And to this day, I still have. Yep. We watched the movie. I have yet to see his scenes. Because we started it late. I fucking fell asleep.
If I have a scene late movie, there's no shot.
No.
Like, I've got like 5 movies that my family's never seen because my scenes are too late in the movie. I'm like, you're not? Okay, they're gone.
Oh, my God. How is the family, by the way?
They're awesome, man.
Yeah.
They're great. Everything's going well. Everybody's really good. We've been very lucky. My dad he turns 89 in December.
Oh, my God.
Yep, and he calls me up and he's like, It's a good thing you answered. You don't let it go to you. When I call, you answer. And he's just as sassy as always. He's a sassy old dude, man. He just said, we were on the phone 2 days ago, and he said, don't listen to your mother. She's full of shit.
There you go.
And my mother goes, he doesn't know his butt from a hole in the ground. I was like, I guess all is good.
Mooresville?
Statesville.
Statesville.
Yeah, that's what it was. Statesville. Yeah.
Originally from Miami.
From Miami.
But not for too long.
And, speaking of that, I kind of did. And I'm always trying to think of, like, how to game the system, I guess.
Yeah.
But I changed my professional name to Timothy Perez Ross.
Did you really?
I did, like, a month ago, and I'm a little bit more Hispanic than Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And I would explain that all the time. Casting is going multi-ethnic, like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, why do I constantly need to explain this? It's in my family name. Why don't I just put it in there? And it's just another thing that has really been, like, people view me a little more correctly, accurately now.
Right.
But that's just another one of those things. I thought, maybe this will, like, I'm just constantly every day waking up going, how do I build this brand? How do I build this?
Do you speak Spanish? Thing?
Un poquito. Y muy mal. But you know what? If I was bilingual, I think I'd work even more.
Yeah,
I really do. And I wish I was. When I was growing up in Miami, the only way my grandparents could learn English was my mother and her brothers and sisters teaching them in the house.
Yeah.
Because they learned in school.
Sure.
Their first language was Spanish, all of them. So they wanted to speak a lot of English in the house. So then when my mother married a hillbilly from West Virginia, you know, she just didn't have anyone to speak with.
Right.
And she sang to us. She scolded us.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would sit on my grandparents' porch every other weekend and listen to them speak Spanish all day long.
Yeah.
So it's some of it's in there, yep. But it was never what it should have been my first language, and I'm satisfied. But I'm doing Duolingo every day.
I was
going to
say, did you tell me that, again, when we saw each other a couple weeks ago?
Man, it's so much fun. It's just, I just sit there and
that's great.
Every now and then, you know, Tammy will walk in the room and be like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, I'm talking to Juan.
So just in case you ever need it, it's going to be hopefully in your back pocket.
Man, I just want it just because I'll probably never know it enough for the business, but why not just have a little bit?
Sure.
No. I had a guy talk to me the other day and I was like, wow, I understood a lot more of that than I thought I would. And that was really cool.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You told me the story the other day of how music was for you, teaching yourself an instrument.
How to play the piano, yeah.
Yes. I mean, I did that with guitar a tiny little bit, and it's just learning a language you don't know is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing to me.
Yeah. It's really, it is. It's very, very satisfying and gratifying to know that, you know, I can, there's still a lot that I can learn and absorb and pick up and actually become, you know, pretty damn proficient at. That,
yes.
You know.
But I think that's great for our business, too.
Oh, it's I think so, too.
Right?
Totally.
The esoteric part is we are storytellers. And if you learn how to tell stories in as many different languages, including music, it's just going to help you.
When I first started, and I probably talked about this before, when I first started in this business, JTA used to send me out for anything that was Hispanic and even Asian. Because I was the closest thing that they had at
it's
the
time.
It's
funny because we always used to say, that Asian Brian.
And of course, I'd walk into the room and I'd be like, there's no way I'm going to be all Asian guys or all Hispanic guys and me. And I'm like, there's no, because I had dark hair. Not everybody fits TV commercials the way that, you know,
okay,
that
yes,
you do.
Absolutely.
You know, I've always talked about that when I've talked with other actors or, you know, people who, you know, when you have that conversation at cocktail parties or whatever, and they say, what do you do? And, you know, you say, I'm an actor. And they're like, oh, okay, what have we seen you in? And it's like, you know, if
always
you can work, you can work consistently, or you can fill, you know, an entire profession at this level regionally, but you have to be able to do everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When people ask me that question, I say, I am a blue collar actor. And they say, what do you mean by that? Well, just in the last 2 weeks, I went to Atlanta last week and I taught law enforcement officers how to interview better if they want a promotion.
Oh my God.
So I was playing an officer with a problem.
Yeah.
You talk about a great acting exercise.
No,
there's absolutely no dialogue. And every person is different, so I'm responding to them differently. But I'll do that one day, a commercial the next week, maybe an episodic or an indie film the next week, certainly spokesperson stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to do all of it because it just broadens the range. It's all work and it's all honing the skill. But yes, I think of myself as blue collar because when they say, what have I seen you in? Most of the time, I'm like, man, maybe nothing. I've done 30 jobs this year. And you might not see me in any of them, but I've been happy for all those jobs, right? Although this morning, my buddy, my son and I are eating breakfast and one of my commercials comes on. So every now and then, I mean, that's cool too.
And as I went through your stuff before we sat down and talked, like it seems, because like you said, you've been in this business for 30 plus years.
Yes, I have.
And but it seems like around 2010, 2011 is where some light switch, something happened, some shift happened.
Man, you do good research.
Well,
tell you exactly what it was.
Do it.
It was a class I went to for 1 month.
Oh, my God.
Teacher and I did not get along.
Okay.
At all. It was just one of those things.
Yeah.
It's a chemistry thing. It's a very popular class, and a lot of people must benefit. But the class started out with everyone sitting in a circle, talking about what they auditioned for and what they might be working on or hope for. And these people are all going around, and I'm one of the only people in that class who was, I was with JTA at the time, with a real legitimate agent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, the phone didn't really ring this way. Like, what am I going to say? Or I auditioned for one thing or something. They're going around, they're like, I auditioned for this movie. And I'm sitting in the circle, and the one true credit I'll give myself is I never listen to anything idly. I think of everything as a lesson or something to learn. And I'm like, where in the, did these people hear about all this shit? And I realized it was just the independent world was blowing up.
Sure.
Indie films, indie projects.
Right.
The difference between me and all of those people is at the end of that month, I went to work hard.
Yeah.
I did indie films for free. I drove myself to Greenville, South Carolina and put myself up in a hotel.
Wow.
Thankfully, I was working at the radio station.
Yeah.
I had a paycheck. But I was doing that to build relationships. The first full-length feature that I starred in was after doing a short film with this guy, and just that story goes, I have a full-length feature in my desk. I already have funding. I found the guy.
Wow.
And we shot for 22 days. I did another one, starred in another one 3 months later. Same thing. An old friend who was like, we've been doing shorts. Now we're doing a full-length.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some funding. So it just, I discovered the whole world of independent filmmaking.
Right.
And then it was a small step from there to realize that people weren't just posting on Facebook and other places.
Yeah.
They're independent films.
Mm-hmm.
They were posting commercials and industrials, corporate videos and spokesperson stuff.
Yep.
And that's where it all kind of really took off. But man, I went to work hard.
Yeah.
I did all kinds of stuff. I mean, there were times where, you know, Tammy was like, what are you doing, man? Like, you're driving yourself here to do this thing for 2 nights. And I'm like, I got to meet, there's a whole world.
Yeah.
What is going on out here?
Yeah.
And meantime, I'm still doing auditioning, you know, with my agent, but I just realized they're not looking for that. But appropriately, they're looking for the big fit, the big jobs and the big, good, let them keep doing that.
Right.
But man, in the meantime, for every $900 a day I can make as a co-star on an episodic, I can make 3 times that much doing this corporate video for these people over in Inman, South Carolina or something. I'm like, sign me up, man.
Yeah.
So that is exactly when all that took off or started building.
Wow. Yeah. Because I mean, you know, I'm not going to encapsulate all the numbers, but I mean, you know, because the beauty of IMDb is everything's marked by year. And man, like you go from 1990 to 2010 and, you know, and again, I'm saying this just as an example.
Right.
If you were to look at that over, that's 20 years. You look at what you have listed on here over that 20-year span, and you would think that your parents would be going like, Tim, maybe it's time you get a real job.
Please get a job.
The next day, though, the next day, it was like, nope.
Bazing.
Damn. How was that? Because that was also at a time when now you're a dad with 2 kids.
Yeah.
So how did that play out for you?
Okay, so of course it's balanced, but it was also, I guess for me, my priority has been, and I didn't always know this, I'm looking back too and thinking, man, my eye was on this target all the time. I negotiated not long after that, mm-hmm. around that time, a 40% pay cut at the radio station.
Whoa.
So that I could be home and work from home.
Well, there you go.
So part of it was, a little bit to my shame, I hope my kids don't hear this at first.
We can edit this out.
Mostly was like, I'm going to do more acting work because I'm starting to get a lot more interest and a lot more stuff. But then the very first day I was home, I made my boys breakfast and I made their school lunch and I walked them to the bus and we had an amazing conversation probably about who can win, Superman or Batman or whatever.
Right.
They were like 8 and 10 or something. Yep. And I thought, man, this is worth every bit of that pay cut. And every day I wasn't working on acting, I was doing that with them.
Yeah.
So I created some balance mm-hmm. with that, but I also created some freedom.
Yep.
But with that freedom, I was like, got to make this 40% back. I got to make. So again, yeah. necessity was the mother. And I just started looking for the jobs,
yeah.
and realizing I had to leave town to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, we all, Charlotte dried up.
Yeah.
And of course, when you compare it to Atlanta, it was never. Oh, I mean, there were like five shows here at one point or something, which we thought, well, this is great. Atlanta has like 65 or some crazy amount.
True.
But that was another reason I found all of these jobs in all of these other regions. What choice did I have?
Yeah.
I love seeing the mixed couples now because we have mixed couples in our closest friend circles that we love.
Right.
And so it's not some made up thing, people fall in love with different kinds of people.
Yes.
That happens all the time.
Yes.
So, but yes, it limits the opportunities to some degree. So the next job I'm doing is because, and this is, I guess, an example of my hustle. When I did these jobs up in West Virginia, I met this single mom whose last name, she's not Hispanic, but she was married to a man named Fernandez.
Mm-hmm.
And she has twins, boy and girl. So she's been trying to get into the business. And I said, let's take some pictures. So I go over to her house. Her babysitter takes some pictures of all of us as a family.
Right.
We have submitted now 4 times. And we just booked a job together Hispanic family.
Wow.
You know, I'm Hispanic, partly. She's not, but her name, but she looks it. She's got dark features and stuff. And I said to her, if you really want to do this, I will create an opportunity for us because we can submit as a family. And, you know, and in fact, when we booked the job, they're like, great, we'll give you a hotel the night before. And I was like, Stephanie and I are close, but we're not married, and her kids might think it's weird. So how about 2 rooms? Yeah. They're like, oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Right?
That
so,
is
but
awesome.
It was just building opportunities. I have actresses all over the Southeast that we submit together for things in different regions. I submitted in Richmond with a very old friend of mine because we kind of check some boxes off.
Right.
If we submit together.
Right.
And those are just, again, other ways to just create opportunities.
That's crazy, man. You're a smart dude. You are a smart dude. All right, before we run out of time, a couple things. Where can you find a lot of these projects? Or can you find a lot of these independent projects that you work on? Or is it mostly just, hey, we're shooting it, we're doing it, and we're crossing our fingers and hoping that we can get distribution or are there, because I know that you've done a fair amount of family and faith-based stuff.
Right.
You've also done a lot of indie stuff. But I mean, again, and I say this with all due respect, I'm not familiar with a lot of these titles, and
absolutely,
I wouldn't even know where the heck to find them if they're even available.
You know, I guess I look at that in a couple of different ways. Red Band Society was I'll go back farther. I did a show called Surface. I don't know if you did an episode of that.
Oh, yeah, I worked on Surface, yeah.
Yeah. How many people remember Surface, right?
No, it was one
we made
season.
Our paycheck on
That's
it,
right.
And that was that.
Yep.
So a lot of these jobs, man, I'm just trying to make a check. I try not to get too. This golf job could turn into the best job I've ever had, or they could say, "Hey, thanks for those 3 commercials, and we're done."
Right.
I mean, you just don't know, so I try not to really get too caught up in that. But we are also on the front of an entire digital revolution where, you know, there's so many streaming platforms now, and I am working on movies that are on PureFlix or Tubi or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I try not to think about that part.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, it's kind of cool to have your name out there. I swear I don't think about that part. I'm just happy to work.
Yeah.
If we nail something, land something that turns into a thing, you know, again, to go back to the golf thing, the producer was like, I'm not saying you're going to be Flo from Progressive, but this could turn into a really, really big thing.
Yeah.
Awesome if it does.
Yeah, right.
If not, I'm just looking for the next thing.
Sure.
And if one of them lands, that's, I mean, my dream goal is actually to just, you know, be a spokesperson on a cool show or a host of some amazing adventure thing
right.
or something.
Right.
Did Mike Rowe know that Dirty Jobs was going to be what it was when he started? He probably didn't. He's probably like, this sounds like a fun job, and you're going to pay me?
Who the hell knew who was Mike Rowe? Who the heck was he before
right,
that?
Yeah, right. He was probably just kind of churning just like we all are, you know, and
well,
good for him.
Then didn't you just complete a pretty big spokesperson documentary show, series, something that took you all over the friggin' globe?
Yeah, so this was a casting director I have done the worst jobs with, man. I mean, and I mean that in the sense of, you know, they were very low paying and some of the stories were just awful. But I just, man, I just loved her. I love this person. I respect her. I believe in her. And I've been doing this stuff with her for years. So she reached out to these guys. They gave me a screen test and we ended up doing it. And what turned out is, so they're still in post-production because everything got delayed last year.
Yep.
But the premise of the show is basically to look for the evidence of giants.
Oh my God.
In our history, in culture, in anywhere from the Bible to just folklore.
Yeah.
To local tradition.
Wow.
To, you know, mystery. I found a giant bone, you know, in a grave in Illinois in a creek.
Yep.
But as it turns out, it's such a big part of history that I was taken to Israel, Peru, Egypt, and then we went to Sardinia twice. And in every one of those places, to chase the trail that the producer had researched and built, we went to pretty much every bucket list place you can think of.
Man.
If you go to Israel, you want to go to Masada and the Dead Sea and Galilee and where the Jordan River starts and the Holy, the Temple and the Holy, and we went to all those places.
Wow.
And in Peru, it was Cusco and Machu Picchu, pyramids in Egypt. All the places.
Yeah.
And I got to stand there and say, there might have been giants here, and here's why. I mean, you know, how better does it get than that?
How long were you working on that?
Boy, so the first trip to Israel was in late July.
Mm-hmm.
We also did a trip to the American West and a trip to West Virginia because there's a huge mound there that has a local folklore with
right.
it. So, we started in late July, and my last trip was the second trip to Italy was December 4th, something like that.
Man.
So it really took up almost 6 months of my year.
That's incredible.
And the first 6 months was a mini series that I did, which was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty cool year. But yeah, just, you know, to be a spokesperson, to host something where you get to do that,
I mean...
Who can complain? I know some actors are like, oh, I'm only doing serious stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll see you. I'm going to Peru. I'll be back.
Right.
No,
I mean,
and
you know
what I mean?
Well, like, sure. And we know those people, and I've certainly had, I'm not saying know those people because, I mean, there are, you know, actor friends of ours who are only interested in doing film and television, and that's
absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, you have to figure out, okay, what are you going to do to help fill the gaps, because again, you never know when the next one's gonna, when the next audition's gonna come along,
and if they're willing to fill the gaps with whatever, that's
right.
totally legit. I respect it. It's not for me.
Right.
So I may have told you this before, but I do remember at our college, Catawba College, I was sitting around with a bunch of students, and they were like, "Oh, I will only do this, and I'll only go to Broadway." Blah. And I said, "Make sure my water glass is full." And they were like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "When you're waiting tables and I'm working, bring me water because I like water with my meal." And they're like, "You're an asshole." And I go, "Maybe, but I'm gonna work. I'm not above the work, man. The work is the thing, and I want to do any of it."
Well, man, I hate to end our conversation because I feel like we never got to talk about Saved by the Bell or Days of Our Lives or your time in Los Angeles or your time in New York or your directing and theater background and your dancing beginning.
Well, you and I can
your
talk.
Your dance
That's
beginning.
That's something we've always been able to do.
But we may have to come back and do a part two on this. Tim, hey, man, I'm so glad that you came and did this.
It's so much fun.
Yeah,
this is
absolutely.
A blast.
Good luck with everything, all your zillions of auditions, and I'm sure that we'll be seeing you soon. This has been You May Have Seen with Tim Ross. Thank you so much for listening.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you'd like to leave a comment or review, that's always nice. You can also email us at youmayhaveseen@gmail.com if you have a comment or a question, and we'll give you a shout-out in the next episode.